Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you be with us as we gather together in your name to study chapter 8 of the book of Daniel. And I pray that you open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that you have done on behalf of your people, so that we know that you are in control in all situations, in all kingdoms. Your kingdoms rule, and heaven rule. And I pray that you help us to submit to you, to your word, and give us a new heart, a heart of obedience to your word, and give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding, so that we know how to obey you and to get the blessing from you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So, Jia Yi, could you read chapter 8?
In the third year of King Belshazzar's reign, I, Daniel, had a vision after the one that had already appeared to me.
After the one that has already appeared to me, you write beside that, you write chapter 7. Chapter 7 is the first vision that appeared to him. That's the dream, first dream, okay? Chapter 7 is in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon. Chapter 8 is in the third year, okay? Now, chapter 6 is Daniel was cast into the lion den, but chapter 5 is the end of the year of Belshazzar. So in other words, chronologically, supposed to be chapter 7, chapter 8 is before chapter 5. So supposed to be chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4, chronologically, and then chapter 7, chapter 8, and then chapter 5. Chapter 5 is the end of his life. Okay? Chapter 7 is the first year of Belshazzar. Chapter 8 is the third year. Chapter 5 is the final year, chronologically. And what's the reason why Daniel write from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4, and then chapter 5, and then 6, all the way 7 and 8? I want you to think about this question. I'm not going to give you the answer right now. And I want you to answer the question. I want you to go back to read Daniel. What's the reason why Daniel did not write chronologically? In other words, what's the reason why he did not put chapter 7 and chapter 8 right after chapter 4? And how come he has to write chapter 7 and chapter 8 after chapter 5? What was the reason why he didn't write the book chronologically? Okay? You have to think about that, and you can get the answer. There's a few reasons for that. Okay? And I'm not going to give you the answer now, but I want to hear whether you do any homework and study that. If you study that and you pray to God, God will give you the answer. Now, chapter 8, verse 1 again. Jia Yi.
In the third year of King Belshazzar's reign, I, Daniel, had a vision after the one that had already appeared to me. In my vision, I saw myself in the citadel of Susa in the province of Elam. In the vision, I was beside the Ulai Canal. I looked up, and there before me was a ram with two horns, standing beside the canal, and the horns were long. One of the horns was longer than the other, but grew up later. I watched the ram as he charged toward the west and the north and the south. No animal could stand against him, and none could rescue from his power. He did as he pleased and became great.
Okay. Who is that ram? Right beside, I looked up, verse 3, and there before me was a ram. What does ram stand for? You write down 820. The two-horned ram. that you saw represent the kings of Media and Persia. Okay, right beside 8:3, you write down 8:20. So I look up, and there before me was a ram with two horns. The ram with two horns represent what? What nation? Anybody knows? A ram with two horns. That is the, in Daniel chapter 2, that's the second beast, the bear. Bear is the one who destroy the lion, right? Me and Persia is the one destroy Babylonian. Okay? And then what happened? And in verse 3, was a ram with two horns standing beside the canal. And the horn were long, but one of the horns was longer than the other, but grew up later. Which one grew up later? Mede is the one grew up first. Persia is the grew up later. So Persia is more powerful than Mede, okay? Verse 20, you see that the two-horned ram that you saw represent the kings of Media and Persia. There's two kingdoms. The kingdom of Media and the kingdom of Persia. These two horns represent these two kings. One is more powerful than the other. The king of Persia is powerful than king of Mede. Okay? Now, can anyone tell me in chapter 5, when Daniel see the writing on the wall, how did he know? How did he know that verse 28? The Paris means your kingdom is divided and given to Medes and Persians. How would he know that? I didn't see that he prayed to God. He just see the writing on the wall. He just see the writing in the wall, but he can interpret that. How come, Joyce?
Through the interpretation of this dream.
He got the interpretation of the dream.
Of this dream, yeah.
Now I want you to remember one thing. If you study the scripture thoroughly, if you understand the scripture, and then you see what happened in the world, exactly what the Bible say, then you know the outcome. Chapter 7 is in the first year of Belshazzar. Chapter 8 is the third year of Belshazzar. He has had two dreams. He know what happened. He know that the kingdom of Babylon will be destroyed by Mede and Persian. You understand? So if you study the scripture yourself and you watch the TV and you see things happen in the world, how the street history unfolded, then you know God is in control. That's exactly what happened, as it is written in the Bible. That's why Daniel knows that. You understand? This is one of the reasons why chapter 5 was before chapter 7 and 8. You say, wow, how come Daniel know that? He has the wisdom. Listen to me very carefully. Do you want to have the wisdom from God? you better study the scripture and study thoroughly. And when your boss asks you a question from the scripture, you know the answer. You can give the answer. Jiayi, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Wisdom is from where?
The Bible.
From the Bible. The more you study the Bible, he has that dream in chapter 7 in the first year. He has the second dream in the third year. He hid it within his heart. Now in the final year of Belshazzar, he know what happened. You got that? This is one of the reasons. Now I want you to hide that within your heart. Okay? And I'm going to ask you to put everything together. Okay. Verse 5, chapter 8.
As I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between his eyes came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. He came towards.
So what does it mean? That who is that prominent horn? A goat with a prominent horn between his eyes. That means he is unihorn, single horn, right? Isn't it? With the prominent horn, only one horn, okay, between his eye. Came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. That means he is running very, very fast. Okay? And who is this horn? Could you read 21? 8:21.
The shaggy goat is the king of Greece, and the large horn between his eyes is the first king.
Who is that first king? Right beside that, you write Alexander the Great. He's the first king. Alexander the Great. Now, when Daniel write chapter 8. Alexander wasn't even born. You understand? Charlie, do you understand? When Daniel write chapter 8 of the book of Daniel, chapter 8, verse 5, he prophesies, as I was thinking about this, suddenly a goat with a prominent horn between his eyes came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. Alexander the Great wasn't even born. And God prophesied it. And Daniel did not understand. And that's why someone explained it to him. The angel explained it to him. What does it really mean? Okay? Verse 6.
He came toward the two-horned ram I had seen standing beside the canal and charged at him in great rage. I saw him attack the ram furiously, striking the ram and shattering his two horns. The ram was powerless to stand against him. The goat knocked him to the ground and trampled on him, and none could rescue the ram from his power. The goat became very great, but at the height of his power, his large horn was broken off.
Okay, I want to stop here in verse 7 first. Now, can anyone tell me in chapter 7, in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel do not ask the angel to explain to him the first, second, and third kingdom. He only asked the angel to explain to him the third kingdom. You remember that? I mean the fourth kingdom. Daniel did not ask the angel to explain to him the meaning of the second and third kingdom. He only asked the meaning of the fourth kingdom, the terrible kingdom, right? But now in chapter 8, he did not understand the second and the third. Who is the second? The second kingdom is a ram with two horns, is Media and Persia. That's the second kingdom. The third one is Greece, the one with unit horns, a single horn. So in verse 8, what happened when his unit horn was knocked down? Verse 8.
The goat became very great, great, but at the height of his power, his large horn was broken off, and in its place, four prominent horns grew up toward the four winds of heaven.
That goat is supposed to have only one horn, unit horn. Okay? But the Bible prophesies at the height of his power. At the height of his power, you write down 323 BC at that time. Alexander the Great has a fever. He died. Very young. He died young, okay? Before he died, he said to his people, in my coffins, make a two hole. Put my two hands and reach out that two holes in the coffin. He said to the whole people that under his control, when he died, he can carry nothing with him in the coffin. He has no children. He get nothing. Empty-handed. He's a proud man. But when he died, he can carry nothing. So the Bible prophesied, at his young age, at the height of his power, his large horn was broken off. And in his place, four prominent horns grew up towards the four winds of heaven. He has four generals in four different locations. One is in Greece. One is in Asia Minor. Asia Minor is Turkey. Asia Minor is the place that the seven churches in Asia Minor. You remember the Revelation? Ephesians, Ephesus is in Asia Minor in Turkey. Syria, you know Syria? Now they have a riot. The president using tank to destroy his own people. Destroy those who have riot, okay? And the fourth general control Egypt and Palestine. So if you look at the map, that is Mediterranean. This is Egypt in here, assuming Egypt. And then this is Palestine. And this is Syria. And over there, that is Turkey. And over there, that's Greek. Oh, take a look. Alexander control all these places. He's a young man. Alexander the Great destroyed Mede and Persia. And until now, the language is still controlled to Europe in those days. Although later on, the fourth kingdom is Rome. But in Rome, they can't control the language because a lot of people speaking Greek. The Bible, New Testament Bible, was written in Greek. Although Rome controlled them militarily, but culturally, it's still controlled by what? By Greek. They all speak that Greek. You understand? Same as, let's say, in those days, Japan conquered China. And I know that in Taiwan, a lot of Taiwanese people, older generation, they speak Japanese because Japan controlled them for 50 years. But in China, we still speaking Mandarin. Is your parents speaking Japanese? I don't think so. Because China wasn't controlled that long. You know what I mean? So, go back. Let me see. Alexander the Great has four generals. One in Egypt and Palestine. Palestine is promised land, okay? Israel. And then control Syria, control Turkey, and control Europe, Greek. He's very, very powerful, you know, at that time. He's a young man. He got high fever and he died. So I encourage you people to go to the library, especially when you are still have on vacation, right? Holiday. Go to the library to read the European history. You see the name Alexander the Great. I think you should know that. Okay? And he has 4 generals. And when he died, he has no son. So, the general in here, they declare independent. Syria declare independent. Asia Minor, Turkey declare independent. And Europe declare independent. So there's a 4 general, become 4 nations. And 4 separate nations, of course, is not as powerful as one nation. You know what I mean? They are divided. But he has no children. He has no girl. He has no boy. Okay. So the Bible say, at the height of his power, his large horn was broken off, and in its place 4 prominent horns grew up towards the 4 winds of heaven. Okay. Verse 9. Jai.
Out of one of them came another horn, which started small but grew in power to the south and to the east and toward the beautiful land.
The beautiful land means the Palestine, the promised land. Okay, the land flowing with milk and honey is the beautiful land. Okay, this one, who is he? He is the Antichrist. Okay?
It grew until it reached the host of the heavens, and it threw some of the starry host down to earth and trampled on them. It set itself up to be as great as the prince of the host.
Who is the prince of the host? The host means the same. The prince of the host. He set himself up as great as God. So that one is Antichrist. Okay? So there are a lot of Antichrist. I want you to write beside. First, right beside here, you write 1 John. I read that to you. 1 John chapter 2. Let hear what the Bible say. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. Many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. In verse 18, the Antichrist is the last one. The Antichrist is the last one. That is recorded in Revelation. But many Antichrists, right beside many Antichrists, you write down Daniel chapter 8, verse 9, all the way to verse 12. He is the Antichrist. Okay? He's against God's word, against God's people, against God's land, against the promised land, the beautiful land. Okay? He grew in power to the south, to the east, and towards the beautiful land. He oppressed the people living in the beautiful land, oppressed God's people. Jesus Christ loved God's people. According to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Jesus Christ delivered God's people out of the bondage of sins. But Antichrist destroyed God's people, destroyed God's land, okay? It grew until it reached the host of the heavens. Who is the host of the heaven? The host of the heaven, you write down, the saint of heaven. The believer, okay? And it threw some of the starry host down to the earth and trampled on them. It set itself up as great as the prince of the host. The prince of the host is the prince of the saints. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. It took away the daily sacrifice from him. It stopped the Jewish people from offering sacrifice to God. And the place of his sanctuary was brought low. It destroyed God's place, okay? Verse 12.
Because of rebellion, the host of the saints and the daily sacrifice were given over to it.
In other words, without God's permission, he can't do it. But God gave him the power to do it. God allowed it happen. So that means God tells us ahead of time, when this Antichrist oppressed you, you just yield to it. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And offer yourself to God. Just like Stephen. Lord, into your hand I give you my spirit. And you die by submission. And you will receive a rich welcome into his kingdom. Okay? Continue to read it.
It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground.
So God allowed him to have that kind of power to do it. I want you to write beside that, write Revelation. If I remember right, 13. God gave the Antichrist the same kind of power in the end time. You never say, oh, since he's so powerful, he must be the Christ. No, God gave him the power to do that. So I want you to read the Revelation chapter 13. The entire chapter. You just write right beside there. You write Revelation chapter 13. They are one of the Antichrist. One of the Antichrist is like the last Antichrist. You understand what I mean? The last Antichrist, the worst one. Read that. 13:1.
And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and mouth like that of a lion.
Hey, when you look at this illustration, unless you don't study Daniel chapter 7, if you study Daniel chapter 7, you know what a lion represent, a bear represent, a leopard represent. You understand? Leopard is the fast running animal, just like Greek, Alexander the Great. He get his kingdom just in high speed. At a very young age, he controlled that world. Okay? Antichrist has all this stuff together in him. So the dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. Verse 3.
One of the heads of the beast seemed to have a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. Men worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshipped the beast and asked, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for 42 months. He opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them.
So, right beside that, you see that? He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them. And God said that ahead of time. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. 13:7, same as in Daniel chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. It set itself up to be as great as the prince of the host. It took away the daily sacrifice from him. The place of the sanctuary was brought low because of rebellions. the host of the saints, and the daily sacrifice was given over to it. It prospered in everything it did, and truth was thrown to the ground. God tells us ahead of time, so that we have to hide his word within our heart. When we see that he was given power to make war against the saint and to conquer them, you don't worship him. Because that kind of power is allowed by God. Okay? And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Verse 8.
All the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world.
In other words, if your name was not written in the book of the life belonging to the Lamb, you worship the beast. If you belong to God, you don't worship him. You make a choice. Okay? Verse 9.
He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints.
So if you are the Christian, if you are a believer at that time, you just be patient, endure the hardship, and be faithful to God. Don't worship him. Be faithful unto death. Then you'll be welcome into the kingdom of God. Verse 11.
Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men.
Because even though you see this kind of miracle, you still do not listen to him. Okay? Verse 14.
Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given great power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it could speak and cause all who were pleased to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666.
It's a man number. I mean, it's a computer code. Computer code. Okay? Like in the future, like a lot of people using credit card, debit card, and all that, right? It's still a lot of forgery. The bank lose a lot of money. So eventually, they're not going to use credit card. They're going to put a mark in the forehead or a mark in the right hand. Without that mark, you can't purchase. But as a Christian, as God's people, we refuse to have this kind of mark, even though you die of starvation, die of hunger. You can't purchase anything, right? They're willing to die. Then you will survive. Okay? So go back. Daniel chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 11 to 12, this is one of the many antichrists. But Revelation chapter 13 is the last antichrist. The last one is the most powerful one. Okay? 13.
Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to him, how long will it take for the vision to be fulfilled? The vision concerning the daily sacrifice, the rebellion that causes desolation, and the surrender of the sanctuary and of the host that will be trampled underfoot. He said to me, it will take 2,300 evenings and mornings. Then the sanctuary will be reconsecrated.
re-consecrated. Consecrate mean sanctify, mean cleansing. Re-consecrated, that mean cleanse it again, make it clean again, okay? Now, it will take about 230 evening and morning. That means 2,300 evening and morning sacrifices. If you divide it into two, which is 1,150. So what happened to this Antichrist? This Antichrist stopped the Jewish people to offer daily sacrifice. Jewish people offer daily sacrifice. First of all, Jewish people begin in evening. Okay? So they offer sacrifice in the evening and then offer sacrifice in the morning. So each day they offer two sacrifices, burnt offering. One is in the evening, one is in the morning. So totally, if they offer 2,300 sacrifices, that means 1,150 days. Okay? And God prophesies 1,150 days. In the history, we see that on December 25th, on December 25th, 165 BC, there's a person called Judas Maccabees. He's very famous. He risked his life to rebel against this Antichrist. And he overcome him. And that's why in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 22, because of this fellow and this, the Jewish people have a feast of Hanukkah. Have you ever heard of the Jewish people say it's a Hanukkah during the Christmas day? Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication. Do you have NIV Bible? You see dedication? That is Hanukkah. You're right beside that, 10:22. You write down, the army of Judah Maccabee, we capture Jerusalem and we dedicate the temple to the Lord on December 26, 165 BC. Okay? It's amazing. You know, God prophesied, that's exactly what happened. So Hanukkah, the Feast of Hanukkah, that means cleansing the temple and offer the temple back to God. You got that? You know why it has to be cleansed? Because this Antichrist, you know what did he offer? He offered pig. And offered pig blood. We only use what? The blood of the lamb or the blood of the oxen, not pig. You understand? And that guy using pig. And he upset Jewish people. And Jewish people risk their life, take back to Jerusalem, set up the army, and fight that battle. And he win it. That's exactly what Daniel say. Okay? So you write beside, then came the feast of dedication. You write down Daniel chapter 8, verse 9 to 14. And that's exactly what happened. Wow. His God is powerful, isn't it? He knows everything, right? He set up kings and he disposes them. Okay? Verse 15.
While I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man.
Looked like a man. Who is he? This is Jesus Christ. Verse 16.
And I heard a man's voice from the Eli calling, Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision.
Now take a look, eh? I want you to write down right beside that. So this man's voice, okay, I heard a man's voice from the Eula calling Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision. This man is Daniel. Before me stood one who looked like a man. This is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ tell Gabriel to tell Daniel. I want you to write down Revelation chapter 1. That's exactly what happened. Jesus Christ tell the angel to explain to John. John is the one that's loved by Jesus Christ. Okay? Daniel, Revelation chapter 1 verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He make it known, Jesus Christ make it known by sending his angel. Very likely this angel is Gabriel to his servant John. In Revelation time, Jesus Christ sent his angel Gabriel to tell his servant Daniel. Gabriel, do you hear that? You are not this Gabriel, right? You are Joshua's brother, right? You know what I mean by Gabriel? Angel is messenger. Gabriel is the mighty one. Are you mighty? Of course not. Huh? Who said that? Donald said that. Okay. Okay. Of course not. Okay. That's right. We are the weak one. Okay.
He said close enough.
Close enough? Far from it, okay? Anyway, I want to circle the word chapter 9, verse 23. How did God describe Daniel? You are highly esteemed. 9:23. Chapter 10, verse 11. Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, loved by God and honored by God. 10:19. Don't be afraid, O man, highly esteemed. Take a look at Revelation. Take a look at the Gospel of John first. Chapter 21, verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who has leaned back against Jesus at the supper and has said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" Go back. The Last Supper. Chapter 13. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. John is the one Jesus loved. Okay? And he is the one who make the testimony. He is the one who write the Revelation. He is the one who write Gospel of John. And he's the same one who write 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And he said his testimony is a truthful testimony. It's a faithful one. Go back. Daniel chapter 8:16. Jesus Christ called his servant, his messenger Gabriel, the angel, the archangel, "Tell this man Daniel the meaning of the vision," in the book of Daniel. In the same way, I believe Jesus Christ tell Gabriel to tell his servant John the meaning of the vision. So you write beside 8:16, you write Revelation 1:1. Right beside 1:1, you write Daniel 8:16. Jesus Christ make his revelation known by sending his angel to his servant John. In Daniel chapter 12, a lot of things Daniel do not understand. He asked God to explain. God do not explain to him. He said, "Rest in peace." And this portion of the revelation that I don't reveal to Daniel, he make it known to his servant John, so that he can write the book of Revelation. As a matter of fact, there's two apostles has the privilege to go up to heaven and see the mystery. The first one is Paul. The second one is John. In 2 Corinthians, Jesus Christ do not allow Paul to write Revelation. God gave this privilege to Apostle John to write. And then you want to understand more. But Jesus Christ said no. Later on you will understand, but not now. He revealed it to John through the Gabriel, okay, through his messenger. And and Apostle John want to worship the archangel. Archangel say, no, don't worship me. I'm God's servant. Worship God, the Creator, the Savior. Now go back 17.
As he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate. Son of man, he said to me, understand that the vision concerns the time of the end.
Isn't it the same as Revelation chapter 1? As he came near the place where I was standing, when Gabriel came near, I was terrified and fell prostrate. But in Gospel, in Revelation chapter 1, when Apostle John sees Jesus Christ, he was terrified too, as if he's dead, okay? Son of man, he said to me, understand that the vision concerning the time of the end. God wants Daniel to understand the vision. Why? So that Daniel can write it down and tell other people. That means God wants all his servants to understand. According to Revelation chapter 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Jesus Christ to show his servant. His servant is plural. God gave the revelation to Jesus Christ, and that revelation belongs to Jesus Christ. So that's why the Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ belongs to Jesus. God gave it to Jesus. And God wants Jesus to show it to his servant, to God's servant. Not singular. But when God wants all his servants to understand, so Jesus Christ sent his messenger, his angel, word ladies, Gabriel, sending Gabriel to his servant, Apostle John. And John write it down so that all other servants can understand. I give it to you here. God gave it to Jesus Christ, JC, and JC, and God wants what? All servants to understand. And so that's why he sent the angel, reveal it to John, and John revealed to all the servants. You understand? It is God's idea to reveal it to all servants. That means God wants each and every one of us to understand God's word. And how did he, the means of doing it? So God gave it to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sent the angel. An angel revealed to John. And John write it down to let us read it. And in between, we have the Holy Spirit to open our heart that we can understand. And this kind of stuff is same as this is Revelation 1:1, same as Hebrew chapter 1:1. God revealed to us through who? Through prophets. In the early part, and now in the end time, God revealed his word to us through Jesus Christ. So Donald, could you read that? Hebrew 1:1. So God wants to speak to us. In those days, speak to us through his servant, holy prophets. Now in the end time, God spoke to us through his son Jesus Christ. Read it.
In the past, God made for forefathers, spoke for forefathers to the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things.
Okay. Thank you. Chapter 8, Daniel. 8:18.
I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Then he touched me and raised me to my feet.
It's the same as what happened to Apostle John. You know, some people are ignorant and say, oh, you know, I don't believe in what you say. I don't believe in the Bible. There's a man written. Well, ask Jesus Christ to reveal to me, then I will believe. When Jesus Christ revealed to you, no, Jesus Christ sent his servant to reveal to you, you are just like that man. Okay? Don't ever ask this kind of question. Say, wow, I want God to speak to me directly. If God speaks to you directly, you'll be dropped dead. I want you to read that. Jia Yi, Revelation chapter 1. What happened when he saw Jesus Christ? Verse 17.
When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last."
18.
I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades.
Okay. Now go to Exodus chapter 20. Let's hear what Moses say. Chapter 20, verse 18.
When the people,
all the way to 21.
When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at the distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die."
Do you see that? Do not have God speak to us directly or we will die. Isn't it scary? Isn't it a lot of unbelievers say, "Oh, I don't believe in what the Bible say. Let God speak to me." Have you ever thinking like that?
Yeah.
Before, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after you read that, are you going to ask the same question?
No.
What do you mean no?
I won't ask God to speak to me.
Okay. Isn't it good for you to study Bible? So that you can fear God, right? Isn't it? Don't leave here. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. Let's hear what the Bible say.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Isn't it good?
Yeah.
It's the beginning of knowledge. Now you start know who God is. Right? The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. You're entering in the kindergarten now. It's good, right? Is it good?
Mm-hmm.
So Moses write that. They scare. They stay at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die." Verse 20.
Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was.
Okay, go back, Daniel. Daniel chapter 8. Verse 18 again.
While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep.
He was speaking. Who is he? He's not God, right? He's just God's servant. The archangel, Gabriel, right? When he saw the archangel, Gabriel, he was just dead, right? Can you imagine if you see God? Just like Saul, right? In Acts chapter 9, he was blind, right? He was blind. Just like Zechariah. When he see the vision of the angel appearing to him, he was dumbfounded. He can't speak. Right? It's terrible. Okay? So don't ever say, you know, "I don't believe in all this kind of stuff. Let God speak to me." Then you'll be in deep trouble, okay? Don't say this kind of thing. If your friend saying that, you show him the Bible. Show him the Bible verses. Where is it? Where did I just show you?
Exodus 20.
18, yeah, that's good. Smart guy. Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments, where the Ten Commandments was written, okay? Remember that. Right after the Ten Commandments. Okay, where are we now? 18 again.
While he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Then he touched me and raised me to my feet.
Without him helping us, we are just dead. Verse 19.
He said, I am going to tell you what will happen later in the time of wrath, because the vision concerns the appointed time of the end. The two-horned ram that you saw represents the kings of Media and Persia. The shaggy goat is the king of Greece, and the large horn between his eyes is the first king.
Right beside the first king, Alexander the Great. Verse 22.
The four horns that replace the one that was broken represent four kingdoms that will emerge from his nation but will not have the same power.
Because they are divided now, right? From one large kingdom now into four separate kingdoms. Okay? Verse 23.
In the latter part of their reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. He will become very strong, but not by his own power.
And this is the Antichrist.
He will cause astounding devastation and will succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. When they feel secure, he will destroy many and take his stand against the Prince of Princes. Yet he will be destroyed, but not...
He will take his stand against the Prince of Princes. He will take his stand against Jesus Christ. He's the Antichrist, okay? The Prince of Princes is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Right beside the Prince of Princes, you write down Revelation chapter 19, 16. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Right beside Prince of Princes, Prince of Princes, this Antichrist will take his stand against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Prince of Princes, Jesus Christ. Yet he will be destroyed, but not by human power. He will be destroyed by God. You understand? We never oppose God. Okay, 26.
The vision of the evenings and mornings that has been given to you is true, but seal up the vision, for it concerns the distant future. I, Daniel, was exhausted and lay ill for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding.
So, in Daniel times, when Daniel has the second vision, verse 27, Daniel said, I, Daniel, was exhausted and lay ill for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision, and it was beyond understanding. At that time, Daniel do not quite understand, because the history hasn't been unfolded. Now, the history has been unfolded. We see what happened in the world history, right? We fully understand it. We are very fortunate, I tell you. We are very fortunate. We see so much thing. When Daniel write that, he see that in a vision, he don't quite understand. He asked. And Jesus Christ know that he didn't understand. That's why Jesus Christ say to Gabriel, go tell Daniel. And Daniel write it down. Write down what he hear. Thanks God for such a faithful servant. Write exactly what he see. Later on, now we can understand. I don't know whether you recall when Paul was taken up to the third heaven. He has a thorn in his flesh. He was sick. He prayed to God three times. The Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he still had that thorn in his flesh when he died. So that he can be humble. and it stopped him from writing it down. Otherwise, he would write it down. Write down the revelation. He did not do it. He obeyed God. I want you to read. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 10.
I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord.
The visions and revelation. Daniel has that. Chapter 7, first vision. Chapter 8, second vision. Paul has that too. John had that too. Right? Only those people God's love will reveal his vision and revelation to them. That is hidden manna. I will go on to vision and revelation from the Lord, because all this revelation and vision belongs to the Lord. And the Lord gave it to Paul, gave it to John, gave it to Daniel through the angel. Okay? Verse 2.
I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise.
The third heaven is the paradise. Go on.
He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfect in weakness.
It's made perfect. Read that again.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For I am weak, then I am strong.
What does he mean by when I'm weak, then I'm strong? When you are weak, you confess that you're weak, then you need Jesus Christ. Then his power will be hidden in your flesh. And when people see you, he don't see you, he sees Jesus Christ. Then God's power reveal in witnesses. If you are so powerful, people don't see Jesus Christ in you. Same thing. When Daniel see that vision, what happened? He was sick. He lay ill for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. I was appalled by the vision. It was beyond understanding. You know? Thanks God. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for having such a wonderful books like Daniel and like Revelation. One in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. Lord, I pray that you open our eyes that we can see the wonderful thing that's written in your books. And so that we not only understand it, so that we hide within our heart, so that we can meditate on it day and night, we have a full understanding of what you're trying to say to us, because we know that it is your idea, it is your will, that you want your servant to know your writing, and help us every time when we open your Bible and read it, and give us a new heart, a heart that fear you, a heart that have a spirit of wisdom and revelation within our hearts, so that we, when we read it, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can understand your will, understand your writing, so that we can put what we learn into practice. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.